Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Eason here with Life Coach Linda Armstrong. Today is Friday, October the 18th, 2019. It's 4 p.m. in New York, and that's 1 p.m. Los Angeles time, which would be 9 p.m. London, 5 a.m. Tokyo, and 6 a.m. Sydney time. Wherever you are in the world, thanks for joining us for another episode of LOA Today, your daily dose of happy. And once again, I'm happy that Friday is here, and we've got comfortable fall weather going on. The color is in full bloom. We're at peak color right around now, and New England is like the best place to be in fall, I think.
Yeah.
Because of that color, it's just absolutely gorgeous. In fact, the last couple weekends, Louise and I have taken little drives around just to, you know, enjoy the color, and I think we'll do it again just because this is going to be the best weekend of all. It's going to be good.
Yeah.
So, how you doing? I hope you've been having a good week here in New York, near New Jersey, rather than New York. I got it right this time, right?
Yep, you got it. Good, doing good. It's getting cold. I'm a little bit disappointed in that because I wanted to have that warmer weather longer. But we'll see.
I think it's actually going to make a comeback, to be honest. I don't think we're done with it yet. Which would be good, because I I like it when it's warmer. It's a little bit, it's not as fun to do the nature walks when it's chilly outside.
Yeah, you know, and that's possible, because I remember as a kid trick-or-treating on the 31st.
I remember you mentioned
that. Sweating, so,
right,
yeah, I'm hoping for that, pulling for that.
Yeah, that's very doable. Why not? I already know, and I know you know, too, that we do have the ability to influence the weather with our thoughts, our minds, our imagination, and at least do it regularly, so let's do it for that. Let's imagine that we're going to have really nice weather for the rest of October and into November. You know, just let it carry on like that. So,
I
actually have something to start with today. I don't have
a
topic, but I have really two manifestation stories. They're kind of two in one, in a sense. And I say that with particular emphasis because normally we think of a manifestation story as something where something really, really out of the blue came. But that's, of course, not what a manifestation is. Manifestation is literally based on anything that we're focused on, you know?
Yeah.
So I put out that qualifier to just kind of put the idea into listeners' minds while they're hearing the story because, as I believe all of our regular listeners, you know, my mom passed in July. And, of course, our family was, and still is actually dealing with the aftermath of that. There's lots of stuff that you have to deal with beyond the loss of the loved one directly. But there's also benefits that I had never really thought about before because my mom had some life insurance. And so my brother, sister, and I both share in the proceeds from the life insurance. That was kind of a surprise, but it was a nice surprise. I mean, I knew she had the policy because I was pretty much up on her finances. But it was one of those things like, you know, you just kind of dismiss it. You don't really think about it. So that was like, oh, yeah, that's right. We've got a couple thousand dollars coming. That's pretty good. I like that. And then the other thing, and I did know about this, but somehow it had kind of escaped my notice. I mean, she had a few income sources, one of which was an annuity. And then we went a little over a year ago, we went through the process of getting her a home and we had to liquidate a lot of her stuff. So I thought all of that money had been liquidated, but it hadn't been. One of the annuities was still around. And turns out that's going to provide each of us $500 a month income for the next 7 years. I'm thinking, well, dang, I'll take that. That's pretty good. So I can't say it's completely unexpected, but it was unanticipated. I hadn't really been thinking that there was going to be anything like that. And of course, everybody wants to manifest more money, and I'm included in that one. In fact, I have remarked a few times that money was always the hardest one for me. So for me to have a money manifestation, that's pretty exciting. I like that a lot.
Yeah. You know, money's always been the hardest one for me, too. And my coach, who's a psychic medium, she's like, be happy that your thing that you have to deal with in life is money and not health. You know, so people have things in different areas of life, right? So to have it in money is really not so bad when you consider some of the options, you know. But let's bust through that anyway, right? But I love your story because it just backs up my thing about surprise money.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it wasn't a complete surprise, it still surprised you at the moment when you got it.
So
you got that excitement and that enjoyment from it. And that's
and I've been milking it. I've been enjoying it every single day since it happened. So, I've been getting the most energy out of it that I can get because that's pretty cool. I like that, you know?
You know, you just mentioned about manifesting and they could, doesn't have to be huge things. Could be, of course, right? It could Absolutely. Be anything. Yep. And I remember, and I think I did a video on this a long time ago, a manifesting story to show how easy it is to manifest. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, it was manifesting something that I didn't really want.
Oops.
But it made a point, right? And it just really, it happened to make a point. Because I think I had my laptop on the coffee table in the living room or something. I had a cup of coffee there, but I went over to do something else. I have two huge dogs, right? Mm-hmm. So I was doing what I was doing, and the dogs were nowhere near. They were in another part of the house.
Right.
But my mind, I thought, oh, my God, I left the coffee there. The dog could knock it over.
Mm.
I'm like, oh, that's not going to happen. And I was like, oh, I only need a minute, right? So I finished doing what I was doing. As I'm coming back, what happens? The dog knocks it over.
Of course.
Instant manifestation, right?
Right.
I put such strong, it really was strong energy because I didn't want coffee to spill all over, you know, my laptop, number one, mm-hmm. as well as the furniture and the rug and everything else. And there it was.
Yep.
It's like I put such a focused blast of energy on it that mm-hmm. it just came.
I know.
There was no resistance to it.
Right, right.
Because the resistance built it, you know?
One of the times where you wanted the resistance, but you just didn't have it that particular time. Yeah, I know exactly.
No, I mean, everything is manifested. Every single thing is something everything. That we manifest. Where everything is created, right?
Yeah.
So we got to take responsibility for those ones that aren't good.
Really
and
cool.
It's easier to have one that you don't want manifest because there's always such a stronger energy flowing to it than what you do want because of that reactive mind, the ego part of the mind that mm-hmm. will start feeding those stories, and you're constantly working to like shut that voice up or mm-hmm. to not let it penetrate so much, which puts a lot of energy towards what you don't want.
It does.
So yeah, that's my big thing I've been working with a lot now. It's just really saying no to this ego, dropping in the heart, listening to that creative aspect of me, the soul side.
Mm-hmm.
I think I did a couple of posts this week. It was, be happy, be love.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to keep doing little short spurts like that, like, you know, because that's all if we just keep reminding ourselves when we slipping away from any energy that's not like happy and love, joy, peace. It's like, okay, wait a minute. I'm going down the spiral again, you know, okay, let me just stop that story right now
mm-hmm.
and move into another energy because we're creators. So let's create the energy we prefer. And maybe just think of it as the energy you prefer and not the actual physical manifestation of whatever it is. Because if we can create this energy that we prefer, physical manifestations happen so much easier. Inspiration comes in, bump, 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 and you can do it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, there's also a sort of a corollary that goes along with this in that we can, in effect, rewrite history. I can't remember what Abraham calls it, but they basically talk about how you can rethink what happened to you in the past and change it into something that would have been a better situation and, in effect, change it so that it no longer affects you the same way. It's what Neville Goddard calls the pruning shears of revision. You imagine it the way you wanted the event to play out rather than the way it actually played out. And if you really work it and you know get the feeling of it and so forth, you can actually change outcomes that way, which is really mind-boggling. But I found myself doing that today and yesterday, actually. When I was out for my nature walk, I found myself kind of focusing randomly on what my mental state was when I was in my late teens, early 20s, which was not a very happy state, by the way. I mean, physically, I was at my peak, right? That's like the physical peak of the human body. But mentally, I was in a really nasty place. I was not in a happy place at all. No confidence, no self-confidence, unhappy most of the time. And as I was thinking about that, I was realizing, wow, not only did I go through that, then I am, just by replaying that in my mind, I'm going through it now. Well, why not apply the Neville Goddard principle and change that memory around? So I actively started changing the memory. When I was 19, and I actually changed it to like I am 19, like I was living in that time now, right? So I am 19, and I am at my physical peak, and I feel great. The world is my oyster. I am just, you know, everything is open to me, and I have so much self-confidence in myself, and as a result, other people open up to me, and they like me, and my relationships work great, and any career that I want is open to me. And I started playing this out as in my mind as I was doing my walk. About halfway through the walk, I found myself standing a little bit taller, walking straight, you know, a little less hunched over and so forth. I said, whoa, I'm feeling young again. I'm feeling really, really good. It was amazing. I mean, now, have I manifested in that an instant change so that my body looks like the body that I had when I was 19? No, but I was only doing it for like, you know, a minute and a half, and I achieved that much in a minute and a half. Well, more than a minute and a half, 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes. But I could just see the change in that short period of time, and it was pretty easy for me to see if I continue that, there's going to be even more change for the better that happens, just because I'm changing that story about what happened when I was in my late teens, early 20s.
Right. So, yeah, so that's like timeline jumping. You know, people talk about this as it's a real thing, right? Mm-hmm. Because if all time exists at the same time, and we can even imagine, that's why a lot of people, I've done it in meditation. You want to go back to another time when you had this skill of whatever this was and bring it in, right? Mm-hmm. Because why not? Why can't we do that? Of course we can do that, because we can do anything because we're master creators.
That's right, yeah.
But that's the whole thing. That's the matrix, right? It's like, what do you want? And we talked about this once before where we had a skip in time, right?
Oh, yeah.
All of a sudden we're at the, you know, it's like the same kind of a thing, really. It's just, So what you're saying is perfect, because I don't remember if you said it because of saying the thing that let's just move from this energy that's not serving us to one that does.
Exactly.
And I like your story too, because I do that too, because I remember like when I moved out to California, I actually knew nobody there, right? Mm. But I didn't doubt I would find, I worked in advertising then, I didn't doubt I would get work, you know? And of course I just got it. It was easy because I was in this excitement, enthusiasm, and it's funny because when I did my my mid-month reading this month, the card enthusiasm came up at the end of the reading, and it's like an energy that we could all be moving into if we choose to right now, because a lot of this stuff we've been going through is kind of, we're still going through it, but it's not as intense as it was, so now we're more open for the new beginnings to actually start appearing. And we can feel the enthusiasm for those. And like, as we hold that, that's better. So like what you're saying, I love to do that. Like, I'll put myself back to that time. I worked at Knott's Berry Farm in California.
No kidding.
If you know that, it's one of the amusement parks. And I worked on signage. So like, you know, that job was fun. We walked around the park all day, creating signs for all of the events and the attractions and all that stuff. And I just remember feeling like, wow, this is like great. Like I felt like everything, every part, I was engaged to be married. Like I was in this new place, California. And like, it was just so exciting. So I like to return to that energy. That's like one of the younger energies I'll return to, because I remember that so vividly that it's easy to bring that energy in.
Yeah. Yeah. I know what you mean. In fact, that was one of the things I noticed, particularly as I was exploring that time period where it wasn't such a good experience, how easy it was to do it. And I didn't think about it consciously. I didn't ask myself, well, why is it so easy? So often in the past, I've had to do this in a very difficult way. Why is it so easy today? I didn't even think about that at all. But as you were talking there, I realized there's a very good explanation for this. Lately, I've been in a good place. My energy has been good. I mean, you know, kind of like what you described when you went to California and you just felt great about it. You felt, it didn't matter that you didn't know anybody. You were just certain you were going to get work because you just felt so good about it. And that's the way I was feeling. So even though I found myself focusing on something I didn't like so much, I had had so much previous time focusing on stuff I did like, it was easy to make the shift.
Yeah.
Which is cool. It's very cool.
I actually picked a card before we started.
Oh, did you really?
And I think it seems like it probably ties right in. So it's this one.
Freedom. Ooh, boundless freedom.
Boundless freedom surges through me. Ooh. So that's that feeling, right? Cause,
it is.
Because really you just feel free to do whatever, to express yourself in whatever way you want to, and without any anything blocking the way of it not being, yes. right? You're yes. just seeing. So let's read what the card wants to say.
Okay.
So it says, the card meaning, break free, express yourself, and let your spirit fly. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that's what we've just been talking about, basically.
Absolutely,
right?
Yep.
So this is confirmation on that, right? Because who knows, you know, whatever. There it is. Flaunt your stuff, dance, laugh, explore, and go beyond predictable behaviors. Be daring, fling your arms up to the heavens in joy. So it says that your soul wants you to know, and I haven't used this deck in such a long time, but something
soul
made me
coaching.
Call it up. Yeah. It says your soul wants you to know you aren't here to be ordinary, but to step beyond limitations and self-imposed boundaries. Don't allow yourself to be trapped by convention or expectations of others. See, a lot of people get lost in that, wanting, you know, conforming to the group think or the mass consciousness and denying what's really within you. You have the ability to choose your life on your terms. I love this part. Replace the phrase "I should" with "I could, but I choose not to at this time." Because should is like a really bad word.
Yes, it is.
When you should on yourself, right?
That's right. Yeah.
So perhaps you aren't always free to create the exact circumstances of your life, but you're certainly able to decide what meaning to give to those situations. That's important, right there, right? And select meanings that empower you, for this is a time to break free. Yes.
Very nice.
It's perfect time for breaking free, because really, that's what I'm looking forward to. Big changes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like I'm kind of on the brink of some changes, and that they're already starting to happen. I've noted here on the podcast over the last week, a couple times I've noted how our listener numbers are up pretty significantly compared to just 3 months ago. 3 months ago, we were averaging somewhere around 275 to 300 listeners. We're now averaging about 350. So we had a jump.
Wow.
And I get the feeling that it's only like the beginning of the jump. It's not the end of it. You know, that is just kind of like a precursor to more stuff that's going to be coming. So I wouldn't be surprised if we're, I don't know what the numbers are going to be. I don't dare predict it, but I wouldn't be surprised if we're at 400 or 500 within a very short period of time. After having been stuck in the range of about 250 to 275 for what seemed like almost years. It wasn't quite, but it just seemed like we were there for a long, long time. So, yeah, there's a feeling of change in the air, and I don't know exactly what that's about, but there's a feeling of change.
I don't understand how they do that listener thing, because it's not like how many subscribers you have. It's how many listens per show.
Yeah. Well, what I'm referring to is average listeners per episode, where the listener is a unique listener.
Oh, a new person.
Well, not necessarily new. Most of them are.
Or
actually
they may not be subscribed.
But I mean that you basically can measure it off of the IP address. So if you have 300 IP addresses all accessing the same show, you can pretty much assume those are 300 different people. So that makes them 300 unique listeners.
Oh, okay.
Now, many of those listeners could be listening also to the next show and to the next show and to the next show. And we're finding that about 80% of them are doing exactly that.
Yeah.
But it's the number of unique listens per show, which I use a platform that's based on the WordPress platform, and it's a plugin called Podlove. And the Podlove gives me a nice database of data that I can delve into. So I have maybe a little bit more access to data than other podcasters have, because some of the services, they kind of give you more of a surface read than anything else. I get a little bit more in-depth, but it's fun. It's fun to see what happens. And I've been tracking it over the years, watching the graph go up and down and so forth. And overall, the progress is good. I know this. I know that the average podcast is 135 listens per episode, so we blew past that one. We're above average now.
Cool. I pulled another card, and it says change tracks.
Oh, yeah.
Change tracks. So that could be part of this whole thing with new beginnings, especially for those, and that's a lot of people who have been going through some major stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it could be really scary when you're going through that major stuff because you can't see the good that's about to come.
Yeah.
If you can just let go. And that's the hardest part, right? That's our journey, to just let go and trust that it all works out.
Well, these change times are really about, like you say, it's about letting go, but it's also about kind of the same way, a different way of saying the same thing. It's about recognizing that we're in change even when things are feeling like they're the same. And it's what we're letting go of is, well, it's all the same. It's all the same. It's all the same. That's the part to let go of.
Yeah.
But it's hard to do sometimes.
And nothing ever stays the same because energy is always in motion, number one, right? And it's always moving. It's always evolving, especially when it comes to us humans creating our life.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, so let's see. Change tracks. It says, on a soul level, you're entering a major learning curve and it's time to change tracks and raise your consciousness to a higher level. Avoid overthinking and instead pray for your divine energy to guide you successfully onto your new path. That's the whole thing, right? Letting go of the overthinking is really what puts you in the lower vibes. So it says, leaving what no longer works behind you. So your soul's path is changing because you're ready for this growth and freedom. Ah, freedom again. View all aggravating circumstances and roadblocks as an invitation to move in a new, more aligned direction with your authentic self. Stay connected to your divine energy rather than being distracted by drama. Notice what is no longer good for you and let it go. Now, I mean, those words sound so easy. It's not always that easy, but only because we're just running programs and crap that doesn't allow us to just do it. Because we can just flip the channel dial, you know, and go from this to that. Just like we're watching TV, right?
Yep.
So it says your divine energy is calling you to change direction. Pray for the strength to fully move upward and onward at this time. And your divine invitation is to be wary of feeling like a victim of others' negative behavior. It's simply time to change paths. Move up and onward and trust your divine nature will guide you. So that's the whole thing. That's what I've been working on, really. It's like getting out of that ego mind, moving into the soul space where it is guided. We come here with a plan. We all have, you know, ultimately our purpose is to create, right? Create. We're bored if we're not creating something.
No kidding, yeah.
And some people thrive on creating, I hate to say it, the negative crappy stuff because it's all they know. Like they're so conditioned now to create in that way that they keep creating that way. And it's shows like all the people you have on your podcast with so many different voices all week long that can maybe help people to break free of that, repeating that pattern of creating what you don't want.
Oh, definitely. No doubt about it. That's one of the main motivators for doing the podcast that I have. As you were talking about that, though, it occurs to me, I was kind of thinking back to some of the themes that you've been playing on, talking on the podcast here, starting in like the midsummer up and through September and into early October about how there was all this, there was a shift going on. There was an energy shift going on.
Still going on. It's going to be going on for a long time.
Okay. But you were particularly emphasizing, I don't remember exactly how you phrased it, but it basically shedding old stuff, letting go of old stuff. There was a lot of that going on. And now what you started to talk about today and what I've been talking about today, it's almost like, okay, we've shed the old stuff. We have freed ourselves up. Now we're open. We're open to stuff we weren't open to even 3 months ago. And I think there's a nice continuity in that because it's a growth curve that goes on there. It's a letting go curve, so to speak. But secondly, it shows why we do it. You know, why do we bother to deal with, you know, letting go of stuff? Why do we have to bother with, you know, shedding the stuff that isn't serving us anymore? So that we can get to the point where all of a sudden we feel free. We feel like we're creative. We feel like stuff's happening. We have an anticipation. We have a feeling of excitement. Like there's a fraught with energy feeling going on. That's why we do it.
Well, yeah, because we always want to create. Because if we weren't creating, we create. That's what we do, right?
That is.
Mm-hmm. Now, this purging and all that we've been doing, because everything is evolving and we're supposedly moving out of the third dimension to the fifth dimension. So it's going to be going on for a while, but it feels like, at least for this part of this whole cycle, that we've gone through a lot of tough stuff, and now we're coming into a place where we can actually start stepping into this next part that we're creating. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that we're going to have more stuff isn't going to keep coming up because, sure. I mean, it's like I like with the work I do, I always refer to it as like peeling an onion, because you just, you just keep peeling those layers and layers to get to that. And with what I do, it's like that root cause, you know, like sometimes you think you've got it and it's like, everything's great, but then something else appears and like, oh, okay. So we have to go a little deeper now. And that's okay. So if we can make that a game, because life should be a game, right? Life is a game. We chose to come here and play. So when we can remind ourselves that, it can, that can soften the energy right there. And then you're like, okay, wait a minute. So if this is a game I'm playing, I went wrong somewhere in this game. I have to move to the fun part of it. But how do I do that? I've been overthinking trying to get to this end result of this particular game or this particular chapter of the book or whatever you want to call it. The first thing is just noticing you've been overthinking it. Because if it's heavy, I mean, you could be thinking and then just thoughts are flying, but you're like in this high energy. It's like, you know that those things are going to unfold or lead you to the next unfoldment through this higher energy, which is always fun. Like, that's what makes creating really fun.
Yes.
But maybe we wouldn't appreciate the fun of that side of it if we didn't go through the parts where we're bumping our head against the wall and like, what the heck is going on here?
Well, yeah. No? I mean, ultimately, if consider where that story usually starts. That story usually starts in the butting the head against the wall. People usually don't start the story with, I was feeling great. That's not the way these stories normally go. You know, so they usually start with when they're in the hole or the butting the head against the wall kind of a thing. And yeah, that's not a happy place to be. But of course, unless we decide to put up with or encourage, depending on how you want to look at it, the purging, the letting go of that, the relieving ourselves of that butting the head against the wall routine, we're going to find ourselves continuing to butt our head against the wall. I mean, we really do want to let go of that. There's actually a lot of benefit in letting go of it, not the least of which is your head feels better because you're not hitting your head against the wall anymore.
Well, I mean, and there's the law of polarity, right? So that's why there's dark and light. There's, you know, the opposite of everything, right? So, and again, I think really, truly, when you move through something and come into a new space that feels better, you don't hate what you went through. You can, at least I don't, you can be grateful for it and be like, wow, okay, that was kind of tough. But look, I came through that and I have all these maybe better ideas based on those things that occurred then. Right, so if we could choose to look at it that way, or we can choose to look at it like, what a freaking waste of time. Complain. And guess what? We probably won't stay in that solution place for very long because, you know, we didn't appreciate how it... I think you got to appreciate this tough crap in order to really move through it, in order to really let go of that story and go into the next creation.
I've often wondered about, is it appreciating the crap, or is it appreciating the fact that you've climbed out of the crap? Because I think it's more along the lines of, I appreciate the fact that I've grown away from it. I've let go of that stuff so much that it's not important to me anymore. And that's the thing I appreciate. Like, wow, I don't care about that stuff anymore.
Yeah, but what did you learn from it? It's like whatever that was is what's guiding you towards something more. So it's kind of like, I kind of feel you have to even appreciate the purpose of all of that lower stuff or that whatever that problem was to really truly understand where you are.
Yeah, I understand. A lot of people have voiced very similar views to what you're saying there, and I think there's a lot of validity to it. Just for me, I find that the more that I focus on what did I learn from it, I tend to drag myself down by doing that. So instead of I just phrase it and think of it differently. I think of it in terms of not what was this thing that I learned about this really terrible place that I was in, but rather where have I gotten to? Because to me, that shows progress. And it's the progress that feels good. The progress is the part that I appreciate. So I want to focus on the part that feels good, which is, you know, the progress.
Right. But then there's this whole thing about healing. So if you hold resentment, like if you don't appreciate what happened, you may be holding on to some resentment for that time of your life or that experience. So the only way to release resentment, at least this is the way I do it in the work I do, is to find the gift or the lesson in whatever it was. So, mm-hmm. so say if someone really resents their parent for whatever happened in their life, the only way to, for me to release that resentment is for to have them see what came out of it. What did it lead you to? What did you learn from it? How has it changed you? How has it made things better for you? We're looking for the good side of it. Mm-hmm. Because when you find out what that is, that's the gift in the situation, right? I mean, so many teachers will say your deepest wound is your greatest gift, because there's something there that you've learned through it. So when you can appreciate the learning by appreciating what it was that taught it to you, then it's done. Then that story is complete. You're not carrying resentment through to the next thing, which you can probably say that goes right along with people who hate their job, get this new one. Okay, I don't have to see what that taught me because that was crap, and now I'm in this better place. Well, I love this better place.
I think you hit it. The idea is are you hanging on to resentment? If you're hanging on to resentment, you know,
it's going to repeat.
It's going to repeat until you actually deal with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
you have to let go of the resentment.
Then that next job is no good. And I see that a lot. I see that a lot with people I work with. So that's what we have to, or this relationship. God, you don't even have to do the work I do. You have to just have friends who repeat the same pattern. Mm-hmm. Always go after the same guy or the same girl, or, you know, always make the same sort of a decision with their finances or whatever it is, and keep repeating it. Mm-hmm. They didn't really appreciate the lessons the first time, or whatever it was that thing was giving you. It's giving you something other than the misery of it. If we can find that, we move through it easier.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true. I think what I was pointing to was using my appreciation as a way to leave the resentment behind so that the resentment doesn't continue to stick with me. Because, like you said, if you come through and you think you're appreciating, but you're still feeling resentful, well, first of all, I'd argue you're not really appreciating. What you're really doing is resenting. You're trying to talk yourself into thinking that you're appreciating, when in fact, the way you're really doing is resenting.
But a lot of people aren't aware of that they're holding resentment.
True. Yeah.
So the pattern just repeats. Yeah. Well,
That definitely happens.
That's why it'd be good for us to be like, all right, this thing that just happened is horrible. What good is there in it? There's got to be, if there is polarities, there's something good in that negative, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There ought to be.
There's
something negative in that good.
Yeah.
It could be, right?
Yep.
So that's just something to look at.
No, it's true. It's true. I
don't know.
No, I think you're making a valid point, and it really does come down to the resentment, resentment is really the best word. Resentment, or you know, carrying on a negative program, something that is repeated over and over again, something that you just keep hanging on to that's not serving you. What I usually like to think about what Abraham talks about on this, because they I don't remember the exact quote, and there are actually a number of different quotes, but essentially, they say, you know, you really don't have to go relive all that bad stuff. All you really have to do is turn away from it toward the good stuff. But what happens very often is people don't let go of that bad stuff. They say, well, yeah, I'm turning away, and they really aren't. And that's the thing. Right. They've deceived themselves. They said, I'm turning away from this really bad stuff, and then they keep looking back at the bad stuff. Well, that's not turning away from the bad stuff. It's staying there. It's staying on that bad stuff. It's staying on the stuff that you don't like.
That's like someone telling the same story over and over. There's no good guys left. There's no good women left. There are no good jobs left. There's no more money left in the world. Whatever.
Yes. That's right. Yeah.
And you know what? So what? You go there. But be there for a day or an hour or, you know, a week, and then move out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Look at it. And like, okay, I'm sitting around resenting, you know, I'm just sitting around being miserable over this thing. And the only thing that holds you in that misery is yourself. It's not whatever that person did, or it's not whatever those employers did. It's only you that keeps, we're responsible for every emotion we have.
That's true. That's true. While we're talking, I hang on to the Abraham Hicks emails that come through every day. I've got, I don't know, a few thousand in there. I've accumulated quite a bit over time. But there was one that came through just a few days back, and I was trying to remember exactly what it said, so I dug through my little pile here and found it. And it was regarding relationships, particularly relationships between parents and children. and specifically regarding adult children. But even though the message was about that particular situation, it actually applies to a broad variety of things. So let me read it to you, and you'll see what I mean. It says, nothing is more debilitating than to care about something you can't do anything about. And you can't do anything about your adult children. You can want better for them and maybe even begin to provide something for them. But in the long run, you cannot do anything about someone else's vibration other than hold them in the best light you can mentally and then project that to them. And sometimes distance makes that much more possible than being up close to them. So obviously they were referring to a particular case of a person who was sitting in the hot seat dealing with an adult child. But that first line really grabbed my attention. Nothing is more debilitating than to care about something you can't do anything about. And as I was thinking about that in the context of my past experience, when I was a late teen, early 20s, you know, there was a time when I thought there was nothing I could do about that. And so I just kind of lived with it. You know, I just kind of put up with, well, yeah, there's nothing I can do about that. I care about it, but since I can't do anything about it, well, I'll just kind of dismiss it, which really isn't putting it behind at all. Whereas when I applied what I was doing over the last couple of days of, you know, Neville Goddard's Putting Shears Revision, changing the story around, I was doing something about it.
Yeah.
I was doing something about how I felt about that time in my life. And in doing that, I was able to let go of it. Now, have I completely let go of it? I'm not sure yet. I think I have left most of it behind. I'm not 100% sure if I've gotten rid of all of it yet. But the point is, I am taking steps to let go of it. And I will continue to do that until I'm 100% sure it's gone. And that I've replaced it in my mind with a feeling of me as a young man who felt self-confident and with the future in front of me. And I felt great. And I feel great right now. And it's just me living in that same space and so on and so forth until that's my whole experience. And once I'm there, I have left the whole thing behind. I've left all of that negative crap behind. It's gone.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm sure it made you more of who you are today. It has to. That's the way it works, right?
Undoubtedly, sure.
That's a big reason not to regret or resent, because it's part of the building blocks that made you, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then a lot of people could say, yeah, but why, you know, they were horrible times or whatever it was. That's the tough one because, like, I haven't gone through anything major like that. So it's easy for me to maybe talk the way I talk. But even so, I still think it's true. You know, I still think that there is purpose to all things and that you are moving forward in some way. And actually, I do see that with my clients and some of the things they've gone through, and they can look at it and be like, you know, they don't think about it at first, but when I ask them, well, what good thing came out of that? First thing is like, nothing good came out of that.
Yeah.
I'm like, but if there was something good that could come from that or that came from that, what would that be? And then all of a sudden, like if you just put, you know, it's an Abraham thing, kind of, right? What if there was something good that came from that? Mm-hmm. And then it opens that space, that little bit of gap that's like, oh, wait a minute. Okay. Well, I definitely know I don't want to be like that. Okay. Yep. Yeah, what else? Okay.
That's good.
You know, like things will start falling into place with it. And then even like, oh, well, you know, if that didn't happen, then this thing that's really good in my life now may not have happened either. And I certainly wouldn't appreciate it the way I do now. You know, things like that, like you start opening up the possibilities and they start coming in. But while you were talking, I picked another card, right? So I picked You're the Boss.
You're the Boss. Okay.
I really don't know what she's going to say about it, but I'm pretty sure it's going to have to tie in because basically what we're talking about right here is we are the boss of us.
Yes, that's
right?
True.
We are the creators. We create everything. You know, I hate to say it, like, you know, the good, bad, and the ugly, right?
Mm-hmm.
We hear that all the time now, the good, bad, and ugly. At least I say it a lot. I think other people might. I don't even know. But we create all of it.
I think we may all say it a little bit differently. My way to say it is we attract all of it. We attract everything, the stuff that we like, the stuff that we don't like. And it's up to us to decide, are we going to focus more on the stuff that we like so we can attract more of that, or are we going to focus our attention more on the stuff we don't like so we can attract more than that? I mean, it's up to us. We get to decide at all moments.
It's up to us, totally, totally. And when you're aware of that, and then you can find yourself, because I found this for myself, I'm like, if I look at what, like something going on in my life, if I look at where my thoughts really were, they were not in the, they were not in the good place enough. They were definitely more in this perpetuating the story. And I'm aware of all this. I teach this. I work with, it's easier to do it for other people than it is to do it for yourself.
Oh yeah.
But, you know, it's like, wow, okay, did I really need to get that lesson again? I guess I did, because look, I fell into the trap and I perpetuated something. So that's why I really sympathize, or I can really feel people who feel like they can't get out of something. Mm-hmm. Because I know what that feels like. Even with knowing everything I know what that feels like. So
it's not a happy place.
But you don't have to be there.
No, you don't.
It's literally making it, once you see it, that's the whole thing with energy. Like even with things that turn on in the body, especially with the kind of work I do, once you look at it, it can disappear. Energy just wants to be seen, right?
Mm. Mm-hmm. So that is a cool phenomenon. And you're right. Yeah. That's one that we do well to activate that as often as possible.
Right. So when you can take ownership and be like, oh man, I can't believe it. I totally was perpetuating that story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know better, and I still did it. Like, all right, it's okay.
It we survived. Me.
But now, as soon as I saw it, as soon as I looked at it, I'm like, oh, whoa, I'm not, what the heck was I doing? Who took me away from me? Where'd I go?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm back, then you're like, oh, I'm back, okay. Let's set things up again.
I was a Robert Heinlein fan for many years. Robert Heinlein, the science fiction writer, often considered to be the father of modern science fiction. And there was one particular novel of his where the lead protagonist, lead character, is someone who lives a long, long time and has all these interesting adventures. He lives literally thousands of years. And finally, at one point in time, he also becomes a time traveler because he gets so advanced with his technologies and so forth. And he has family and friends who are involved in all this. So he's actually able to travel in time. And he ends up traveling in time and ends up getting killed back in World War I. Which kind of like, oh my God, he's gone through all this stuff and he goes back to time and gets killed in World War I. Wait a minute, that shouldn't work, right? Well, at the point that he gets killed in a battle, the next scene is him interacting with what Heinlein considered to be his maker, with the God consciousness. And the God consciousness says to him, ah, checkmated yourself again, did you?
Yep.
And I think that pretty much summarizes it. We check ourselves all over the place. It's crazy.
Totally. Okay, so let's see what this card says. You're the boss. When it comes to living a sixth sensory life, you have to make a choice. So if people don't understand the sixth sensory, that's using your intuition as well, right? A sixth sense.
Mm-hmm.
To trust your vibes, you must stop allowing other people's opinions and fears to override them or cause you to doubt or ignore what you feel. Trust your vibes is an extremely self-empowered decision. It frees you from seeking approval and invites you to experience the peace and self-approval and self-acceptance. Be careful not to shop your vibes to seek agreement. Trust the guidance that you receive without confirmation from others. That's the thing about shopping your vibes, like seeing if people agree with what you're getting, you know?
Oh, yes. See that all the time.
Mm. Yeah. We often take our psychic guidance to the one person we know will discount or dismiss it in the hopes that if we can just convince this person, we'll validate our guidance, but it won't work. So don't set yourself up for this kind of sabotage. Yes, trusting your vibes is scary because when you're doing so, you're taking full responsibility for your life.
Yes.
Yet isn't it far scarier to allow someone else to run your life? Oh yeah.
No.
So muster your courage and take charge. Your vibes are trustworthy and they're there to help you. Ignore those who interfere and decide that when it comes to your life, ignore those who interfere and decide that when it comes to your life, you're the boss. You're
sure.
The boss.
Cool card. I like that card.
Yeah, that's perfect with everything we're talking about, right?
Absolutely.
Everything we always talk about.
I know, it is. Every single week, it's a guarantee that whatever cards you pull are going to be perfect, absolutely perfect for what we're talking about.
But we could pull that card every single week, and it would be perfect.
It would be. Yeah. As you were reading that, it felt good. It felt good to hear that card. It felt absolutely right. Like that. So, really good. Ooh. Yeah. This is definitely a time of change, and I am going to kind of assume it's true for our listeners as well as for us. I mean, I know you've been going through change, I've been going through change, and it's been good. It's good change. I'm not sure there's such a thing as bad change, actually, but it's change. Let's put it this way. It's change that I've liked. Let's put it that way. It's change that I've liked a lot, and some of it has been, shrug my shoulders, I don't really care so much. Not a little bit has been going through stuff that wasn't all that great. But even then, just because of the high place I've been in a lot of the time, I told a few stories this week about, there was an eBay situation where I sold something on eBay and it was turning into a mess and the person wanted to return and so forth. And I had no idea how to iron the thing out. I mean, it was nothing that I had done wrong. My product, the thing that I had sold, there was nothing wrong with the product. It was basically, everything was happening at the other end, and you could tell that person was in a bad place, and they were just spinning all this stuff. And I said, I don't know how to fix this. So I gave up, and it fixed itself. It fixed itself. I didn't have to actually, in fact, the degree to which I went out of my way to try to fix this thing that was outside of my control, all I did was make myself frustrated.
Right.
But once I let go of all that, it just fixed itself. So that now, literally, I am one day away from the entire situation being gone permanently. And I don't see anything that can stop that at this point. It's like, wow, just amazing. All I had to do was just let go of all the frustrations that I was building up in myself over this thing that had nothing to do with me. It had nothing to do with me. And I was still taking it on. And it wasn't until it went away.
That's a great example. Because it's like that for everything, really. Yeah. For me, it comes down to ego and soul. You know, we get stuck in trying to figure it out and thinking we know all the answers, which is so limited. Mm. Because we can only think so many things to that. And when we get so stuck in it, it's almost like a tunnel vision where you can see all these possibilities that are screaming at you. No, try this. No, try this. You can do this. You can do this. But when we move into that heart space, right, and we're like, okay, all right, angels, whoever, spirit, you do it. You do it.
Right.
I give up.
I quit.
I'm kind of done, you know, like send me whatever I need so, and I'll do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's nice when you have the omniscient viewpoint that the spirit world has. They can kind of see everything happening at once because they see that continuity as a singularity. They see that timeline all as one thing. So it's pretty easy when you have that viewpoint. When we're in the middle of that timeline, when we're living that timeline, that's where it becomes much more difficult. So that's why it does pay to just let go of it.
But that's what the whole awakening is about, just being more and more conscious, you know, like being able to be present in the moment and tapping in tune with that part of you where you can get the inspiration. Mm-hmm. You know, it can drop in. So really a good thing to do is when you feel yourself getting into, when it feels like a struggle to find a solution, mm-hmm. then it's not that fun part of creating, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. It's a burden.
Yeah. So it's holding that lower vibe. So you got to say, well, okay, I'm creating from a low vibe. That mm-hmm. can't be good.
No.
Yeah, well, the good part is
recognizing it. I mean, you saw that it was a low vibe, you know?
That's it. If you could see it, that's the whole thing about awakening, right? It makes you more consciously aware where you can notice sooner when you're being, pulled in, being pulled down into that mm-hmm. old way of being, right? Because in the fifth dimension, it's like manifesting is easy. It's not a problem. We just do it. It's our true nature. We're just more of our true nature.
So when I take the way Heinlein was expressing it, he was expressing it in terms of it's as if you were playing a game of chess with yourself and you keep checkmating yourself. So how do you stop checkmating yourself? Well, simple. You stop playing the game. You don't have to be playing a game of chess with yourself. You can leave and go off and do something else. But we get ourselves into this mindset that says, oh, no, I got to keep playing this game. I got to keep interacting with this person, doing this other stuff. No, you don't. Take a break.
Yeah.
Get a coffee, you know, get an espresso, do something.
And that reminds me of my earlier days in advertising, you know, and my creative director or whatever would say, just leave it, go for a walk, you know, like go do something fun. I'm like, okay, I'm game for that. Like I didn't even realize the effect of that back then.
That was good though, great attitude.
But, yeah, always the idea would come in either while I was out there, when I came back, or in my sleep that night, you know, because I just, you kind of like let go of having to have the answer right there and then.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you're right. I mean, probably the hardest thing for me over the last couple of years was understanding earlier on how it is that when we receive this guidance, you often talk about it in terms of getting guidance. When we receive the guidance, how do I recognize the guidance? How do I know that it is guidance? And then what do I do with it? Because I always wanted to think of it from a linear perspective. Well, okay, the spirit world hands me guidance and I do something with it and it turns into something wonderful. But what I've learned is that actually that's not the way the whole thing works. What we're calling guidance is actually just stuff working itself out and I don't really have to do anything. And that's really not what I expected. I thought I was going to be the one who had to do it.
Right. Yeah.
Kind of throws you, but once you finally get it, once you realize, well, I don't have to do anything at all, like, cool. I'm heading for the Bahamas. Anybody want to come?
Yeah, I was kind of just hearing, follow the fun, you know, whatever follow that is, whatever that is, follow mm-hmm. the fun, you know, to lead your way out. Like, follow the yellow brick road. What is it? Yellow brick road?
Yellow brick road, that's right.
Let's follow the fun.
Interesting thing. I mean, you brought up the Wizard of Oz. Interesting how that is it's sort of like a mind play that matches what we were talking about. Because you have the Cowardly Lion who thought that he had no courage. You have the Tin Man who thought he had no heart. And you had the Scarecrow who thought he had no brain. They actually make it to the wizard and find out that the Scarecrow already had a brain. He just didn't have a diploma. And the Tin Man already had a heart. He just didn't have a testimonial. And the Lion, I mean, we already had it. We didn't know it.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, I figured I happened to be sitting in a different part of my office today, and I'm next to like this pile of cards decks. So I picked up another deck. And what is it? It's Intuitive Life Coaching.
Okay.
So, but I got Spiritual Teacher.
Ooh. Nice image.
Step into your role as a spiritual teacher. Okay. Because truly, we're all spiritual teachers. We are all spirit. We're all here mm-hmm. playing this game and learning lots of stuff.
Yeah.
So let's see what it says. It says, you're being guided to step into your role as a spiritual teacher. You have compassion for humanity. You have a deep love of life and all beings of life. You spend most of your time uplifting people around you. You fill them with hope, compassion, and love. You see beauty and good in everyone and everything. Nothing gives you more happiness than to watch someone evolve and grow into their true self. Mm-hmm. You are a teacher of compassion and unconditional love. This card comes to you. I'm speaking to everyone who may be listening to this or watching on YouTube. You are a teacher of compassion and unconditional love. I have to just say that again because there's no coincidence that someone comes to any book or any audio. Everything comes for a reason. So if you've never thought, well, I'm not a spiritual teacher, how could I possibly be? Like, I know I am. Well, you know you are. But I truly think everybody is. Just haven't maybe grasped onto something with that. But I think especially for anyone who's listening to this show.
I agree.
This card is talking to them.
And I want to come back to the card in a moment, but I want to mention something. Very often we run into people in life who it seems to us are unspiritual. They all the stuff that they do and all the stuff that they say is so far away from what we would consider to be spiritual that, you know, it's almost like they're mocking us. They're laughing at us. And it becomes very easy to draw the conclusion, well, they're not terribly spiritual beings. They're certainly not spiritual teachers. And what I've come to realize is that's bunk. They are some of the best spiritual teachers in the world. We just have to recognize it.
Right. So it says, where am I? This card comes to you today to tell you that you are a spiritual teacher for many, even if you're not aware of it. Mm-hmm. You love children, people, animals, and nature. You also value honesty, equality, and love for all. Your guides and angels come to you today to tell you that you are worthy of stepping into your role as a spiritual teacher. Do not second guess yourself. Let go of all of your fears. Hand it over to God, your guides, and the angels, and ask for your highest good to unfold. Mm-hmm. The reason why you're so passionate about the well-being of others is because at the core of who you are a teacher of love and light. When you accept this and embrace this as part of your true nature, your path will light up for you, making you finally feel at home in this world. You are meant to help, heal, and teach compassion and unconditional love. You will find your own unique way to teach, and when you do, all will be right in your world. If you are already on your path as a spiritual teacher, this is your message from your guides and angels that you are right where you're supposed to be. Go out into the world and shine your bright light. Oh, I love that nice. Card.
Yeah. We're getting some cards today. I mean, we always get cards that are perfect for this conversation. Today, we're getting cards that have a really high vibrational feel to them. You know, really good feeling stuff.
Yeah.
I like that. Oh, that's an indication, I think, of where each of us are in our own life paths. But it's also kind of an indication of where our conversations have gone. I mean, because the conversations have been exploring more and more a broader and broader field every single week. I don't know how it gets even better than this, but boy, if it's going to get better, I can hardly wait.
You know what? As long as we keep bringing joy to this gathering, like we always do, it's got to be good, right?
I think that's true. Yeah.
We got to follow the energy.
Which is why we want people to be subscribers so they can follow the journey with us and join in and even send us stuff. I mean, it's really great. We don't get this too often, but we love it when somebody sends us a message, an email or a text message or something over Facebook or whatever, commenting on something that we said or sharing an experience they had. But regardless of whether you do that, we want you to join us on the journey. And the way to do that is to be a subscriber. Now, most of you are subscribers, but for those of you who are not, we want to encourage you to do that right now. Just go to the homepage of our website, loatoday.net, and at the top of the page, you will see instructions on exactly how to use your device to become a subscriber. And also, at the same time, after you've done that, that takes 3 or 4 steps, when you're done with that, go to YouTube and subscribe to us there so you can see us, because we live stream as we're podcasting, as we're building and recording the podcast, we live stream it to YouTube, and we sometimes even get some of our listeners joining us while we're doing the live streaming. So feel free to do a search for LOA Today podcast videos. We'll pop up, subscribe, and click the little bell so you get notified every time that we're publishing. But please do subscribe because we want you to be part of this journey. And this journey, it's a fabulous one. It's been going for 7 years now, Linda. 7 years.
Passed
the 7-year anniversary on my wedding anniversary. Louise's is my wedding anniversary on September 26th.
That's awesome.
Can't wait for the next 7 years. The next 7 years are going to be even twice as good as
can you imagine?
Before. Yeah.
Oh, let's imagine. Hey, let's imagine.
I don't know. This is where I think it's great to be practicing imagining, because there are some times where I feel like, well, geez, I don't know what else to imagine. And that to me, as soon as I'm saying that, I realize, oh, that's an opportunity to practice imagining anyway.
Right.
Even if I don't know how to do it, just go for it. Just pick something and go for it, you know? Because that's how we get better at it, over and over and over. Hey, I haven't mentioned this in a while, but I also want to give you the chance to tell people more about you and your coaching service. Tell people how to reach out to you where they. I know that you got a huge video collection on YouTube, but tell people more about your stuff.
You can just go to my website, lovemylife.coach, and lots of information there. You can book sessions right online. And, the YouTube's great because you can get to know me through that. You can get to know me through this podcast right here.
Mm-hmm.
And
but you have an amazing collection of videos. I don't know how long you've been doing it, but I mean, there's like hundreds and hundreds of videos that you've done on a variety of subjects related to law of attraction, spirituality in general, and so forth. It's just really cool.
Yeah, I'm not sure how many there are, but there's more to come. I got a good one coming up. I have to edit it hopefully today.
Ooh, okay. Give us a spoiler.
I might title it. I haven't done my keyword searching yet or anything, but it's going to be like. You are God, we are God.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Nice. Well, often we talk about stuff inadvertently that touch on what you've talked about in your show. In this case, I'm going to reverse that and say, let's talk about that next week because I like that topic a lot.
Okay, all right.
Let's do that. So, all right. Well, thank you very much. As usual, this has been just, this one's been actually more than usual. This has been like really warming. I feel really good after doing the show. So thank you very much. Thank you to our podcast listeners as well. We will see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
If the music will only play. There goes.